Calling all Nerdy Show listeners, we need your help. You voted for us in the Audioverse semifinals, and thanks to you, The Orphans, Nerdcasting the Multiverse, Dungeons & Doritos, and Liberty are all in the running for the final big vote. We can take home a whole slew of awards in audio drama excellence if you'll join us again to fight in the name of the Nerdy Show Network's awesomeness. Don't delay. The voting closes on December 9th. Head to nerdyshow.com/audioverse2017 for the list of nominations and all the info you need to get voting.
Introducing the greatest animated series you've never seen, Lightning Dogs. These canine commandos are lost on a post-apocalyptic Earth and battling the forces of the evil Glampire. It's a tribute to the cartoons and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, and Nerdy Show is hell-bent on bringing it to life. Blocks sold separately. Join us as we document our quest from the moment lightning struck to every world-building session and beyond, and make our crazy dream a reality. Roll with the pack at lightningdogs.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 127. I am your stupid awesome analyst, Jonathan, and with me is our King Baby Duck, Evan, of the Boston Bastard Brigade and Wicked Anime.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches. How are you lovely cuties doing today?
And finally back with us after a long stint of time not being in the U.S., we have the hard man with hard opinions, Andrew.
Hi.
There was a moment there where I had to remember what your name was because I hadn't even said it in the longest time.
A hard man with harder opinions.
Yeah. So, this episode, we really want to focus on the return of Andrew to the podcast. So we're going to hear a lot about his adventures in Japan and Taiwan and Asia and Canada. And you didn't go to Canada.
I flew over Canada.
You flew over Canada.
I actually flew around the world entirely.
Ooh.
In 80 days?
Less than 80 days.
And took a hot air balloon. All right, so...
Suck it, Jules Verne.
Yeah, man, it's easy. What's so hard about flying around the world in 80 days? Don't you know? All you need to do is just get Jackie Chan and...
And Steve Coogan.
Yep. All right, let's ring the news bell.
News.
Thank you, News Bell Chan and Whistle Coon. So, let's start with... Let's get the sad stuff out of the way first, because we were bombarded with a particular story as soon as it happened, which was the voice actress who is best known for playing Bulma in Dragon Ball Z had passed away recently.
And her name is?
Hiromi Tsuru.
Yeah. So, she... did any articles say what the conditions were of her passing away by any chance? I never.
They say it was aortic dissection.
Really? I don't even
dissection.
Know what that is.
I'll pull it up right now. Aortic dissection occurs when an injury to the innermost layer of the aorta allows blood to flow between the layers of the aortic wall, forcing the layers apart. In most cases, this is associated with a sudden onset of severe chest or back pain, often described as tearing in character. Also, vomiting, sweating, and lightheartedness may occur. Other symptoms may result from decreased blood supply to other organs, such as stroke or mesenteric ischemia. Aortic dissection could quickly lead to death from not enough blood to the heart or rupture of the aorta.
So thanks, WebMD.
Yeah, so it's more or less
a hemorrhage.
No, like a heart attack.
Well,
something along those lines, yeah.
That sounds awful. And yeah. She was only 57 years old, which is far too young. But doesn't it seem like it's a typical trend whenever a Japanese celebrity dies, it's around that age? Like, it's been for the past, like, 5 years, there hasn't been a single death that we've notified on this show that's been like, eh, that's a decent age to die at. He was 98.
Like, nobody does that anymore. It's usually like, he was 40 or he was 60 or she was 57. It's
because the Japanese people work way too much.
Yeah, they do. I think they even, they brought this up in an episode of Seiyu's Life, because there was an episode where Ryoko Shirashi was telling a real life story of how, like, she worked so much that she basically almost ruined her voice entirely and had to, like, go on a temporary retirement until it got all better again.
Well, that's what's happening with What's-Her-Face from Food Wars.
Right.
I mean, do you think that this her death resulted because of her working herself into the ground? Or do you think
probably
it was some form of injury that she sustained? Because this sounds like an injury of some other kind.
It doesn't sound like an injury.
Because she was in a car when they found her.
It's basically a heart attack.
I really don't know.
Mm. Well, there really isn't much that she has been doing outside of Dragon Ball Super and Anpan Man. So it could have just been a sudden thing. You know, human bodies are quite the mysterious organism, if you think about
it. Quite the faulty machine.
I'm upset because she was she voiced one of my favorite harem waifus, which was Ukyo from Ranma 1/2.
Mm-hmm.
That's upsetting.
And you have a cell of her.
I do. I do, in fact, have a cell. Unfortunately, yeah. That probably means that there's going to be a whole new Bulma voice.
That's right. And what are they going to do for Dragon Ball Z?
They're probably just going to hire a new voice actress for Bulma, which is really kind of weird.
That's super disappointing, you know, like that they have to resort to that.
But I actually think it's kind of impressive that they never had to do that in the first place. That over all the years since the 80s, all the voice actors have been exactly the same. I mean, usually over the course of 20... I mean, it's not like, you know... I mean, Thundercats came out in the 80s, but... And then it was rebooted in 2011. It's not like they got all the same voice actors to come back and do Thundercats. Mm-hmm. It was all new voice actors. Mm-hmm. But here you have a show that's been running since the 80s, like Dragon Ball, and every single voice actress is exactly the same. Even to the point where they did the same thing with Tenchi Muyo. You know, there's so many different Tenchi Muyo series, but when this new series of Tenchis that's coming out right now, Tenchi Muyo I... I'm sorry... Ryoki Season 4, which I still haven't watched yet, because they haven't made it accessible to us here. They also reported, oh, hey, all the voice actors are going to be the same, except for this one. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize that they've all been the same this whole time. That's really impressive. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that's pretty cool, that once you get a voice in the industry for a Japanese voice actor or actress, that you get to keep that for that long. So that's quite impressive.
I got my high hopes set for Fooly Cooly 2.
Well, and it's actually kind of the same thing to think about. It's probably the reason why, you know, Naruto's a grown adult man, but he still sounds like a child. Oh. And Goku is a grown adult man, but he still sounds like a child. It's because they have the same voice actresses since when they were children.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the series. Yes,
and that's a problem.
Yeah, and it's
because... that one in particular is a problem.
It's because they don't hire new voice actresses... Or voice actors as characters age.
Which, by the way, the Japanese voice of Goku, she's almost 90 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about one of, like, someone that...
Almost 90 years old? I thought her...
Yeah, she's almost 90 years old.
I think they only celebrated her 60th birthday a couple years ago.
No, it was definitely 80th.
Was it?
Yeah.
No, she's like 87 or 88, I believe.
Yeah.
She is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's like the June Foray of Japan. She's gonna be like voice acting all the way up into her late 90s, reckon.
All right, so let's transition on. Let's take this in another direction and talk about voice acting in another sense, because we got a new Pokemon movie.
Yes.
Yes.
Recently.
From one shocking thing to another shocking thing.
So there have been videos spreading all around the internet talking about this one particular moment in the new Pokemon movie, I Choose You, that is like the retelling of the first chapter of Ash and Pikachu's history with one another. And they go for like this, the Pokemon movie moment where like, oh no, Ash is in peril. Is he gonna die or whatever? And then, there's this really heartfelt and touching moment between Ash and Pikachu. And then what do we get? We get Pikachu speaking English to Ash, saying, it's because I always want to be with you. Pikachu speaks those words, and then they blow up. and die. It's true. It's a true story. But I think the better portion of this is that the reaction to the theater that was watching it at a New York film premiere of it, it was just like, they hear the line, "It's because I always want to be with you." What the people in the theater just like go crazy. If there's still, because the videos have been,
everything I know is a lie now.
Yeah, because the videos have been taken down off the internet everywhere. So I'll try to find one and post it to you if in the description here.
Well, the movie's going to be airing on Disney XD in a couple weeks, so people won't have to wait too long to experience it for themselves.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, but they won't be able to experience the audience reaction.
Yeah, that's right. The audience reaction is the funny part. So here's the thing. There's like this dreamlike state that all of the characters are in this moment. I watched the clip myself, and I don't think Pikachu speaking English in this moment is that far-fetched or absurd, because I don't really think that Pikachu is actually speaking English at this part.
No,
I agree. Yeah. I feel like that this is just a moment that's just, like, maybe Ash got hit in the head, and this is what he thinks is hearing Pikachu.
This is Ash's interpretation of what Pikachu is saying to him.
Yeah.
So,
like, you're finally getting an idea of like how Ash could communicate with Pikachu.
Well, because see, there's this moment in the first season of Pokemon in the Indigo League where Ash starts to understand what Pikachu is saying to him,
mm-hmm.
and they can just kind of talk to one another, even though all Pikachu can say is Pika Pika. And
which is the episode where Ash thinks it's like, so they all get together and they do the Macarena.
What? Was that an episode?
That was an episode.
Either way, I think it's supposed to entail the moment when Ash and Pikachu have this understanding of one another.
Right.
That's why Pikachu has an English-speaking part.
Yeah. See,
because it's that point where, like, Ash goes from not being able to understand Pikachu to totally understanding Pikachu.
Yeah. Right, because when you watch the clip, there's a dream-like white vignette around the screen when Pikachu speaks in English. Now, but the other part of it is, too, is I didn't think that's what Ash was thinking he was saying. That's what Pikachu is saying.
Yeah.
But
no, that's what Pikachu is saying, but it's Ash's understanding of it.
Right. But my thing is, I don't think Ash actually heard that. I think that Pikachu said that, and just us as the audience know that's what Pikachu's saying, not necessarily that Ash knows that he said that.
Maybe. I don't know. I think the internet is making a bigger deal out of this than it needs to be.
They absolutely are. But that's...
As soon as I saw this news story pop up, I was just...
Calm
down. Like, okay.
Some people feel like their childhood has been ruined by this moment.
Which... Don't get your weebs in a bunch.
Yeah, I just... I just don't get it. Like, okay. Pikachu has an English line in this. That's really cute. That's it. That's as far as it goes.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think that the best takeaway part of this is that it's funny to look at all these fans freaking out over something that's so minuscule and an artistic choice. The internet, man. Yeah. Anime fans, man.
Stop watching anime and get a job.
So, let's go to another... Speaking of words, I'm killing the transitions tonight. Mm-hmm. Killing my segues. All right. Speaking of words, we have a list of new words that have just been added to the Japanese language Kojin dictionary.
Yay.
It has added 10,000 new entries to its latest edition, which is a ridiculous amount of words. I don't even know if we have that many words in English. I know I've counted.
I feel like it dwindles as years go by.
Yeah.
We're going to be speaking in emojis by the year 2072.
So we just left a Cuckoo Kangaroo concert today, and MC Lars opened up for them too.
Yes.
And on the way out, we were sitting in the car and we were talking about, like, some of us didn't know right off the top of our heads what TBH stood for, to be honest.
To be honest.
Yeah. So, but the thing of it is like, eventually we're going to be just... We're just going to be talking in those anagrams. Like there's not going to be any more words. It's just going to be letters.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, youth of the nation, right now, that just abbreviating to specific letters doesn't always save you a lot of time.
Right.
Saying TBH is literally the same length of saying to be honest.
Yeah. It's just that it's one syllable shorter because
it's one syllable shorter.
And H. And not to mention, saying T is more strained because you use more muscles in your mouth to say T than you do to say two. So just to be honest is easier to say.
But this is just, you know, three grumpy old men saying, get off my lawn.
You kids ruining the English language. Well, back in my day, we had 30,000 words memorized for our speaking, and that was just the way we liked it. Meh.
What were words back in the 90s that we... You all right?
Tubular.
Tubular.
Radical, dude.
Or just rad for short.
Yep. Yeah, super rad.
Yeah.
But let's get to the Japanese words, let's because there's a few Japanese words that I feel like that we as Americans should kind of steal and use for ourselves.
Yeah, so, they have added 10,000 new words to the Japanese language dictionary. I'm going to skip around a little bit because I want to save my favorites for last.
Yes.
The first one on this list is Bigu Mausu, or Big Mouth. I don't know why you would have to add that to the dictionary, but it's there now. Or how about Karishu? Which is the Karishu, the definition of that is the distinctive smell of an old person. They made up a word for old people smell.
Karishu. Right, which is one of the words that I feel like that we should be stealing.
Yeah, because we don't have that either.
No. What's the word again?
Karishu.
Karishu. Man, I don't want to go to the old folks' home. It just reeks of Karishu all the time.
They also have ones for, like, Buraku Kigyo, which is exploitative firms with bad working conditions.
Mm-hmm.
They have Isuramu Koku, which is Islamic State, so they've actually gotten in on the times with like, terrorism and things.
No, then now that you've said their name, you'll call them to Japan.
Yeah, right. There's, oh, this one is actually easy, LGBT. They actually added that to the dictionary now.
I'm actually surprised it took them that long.
I know, right? I don't know. Konkatsu, marriage hunting.
Well, I'm sorry, but LGBT isn't a dictionary word. It's an anagram.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a word. That's just LGBT. That's a bunch of letters put together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or how about this? Jidori, selfie. They actually added a word for selfie in the dictionary. So it looks like that Japan has millennials themselves, too.
Well, when I was there, yes, there's selfie sticks everywhere in Japan. Everywhere.
Deepu Uraningu, or deep learning. Which I wish they had some of the definitions for these because I have no idea why they would want to add this in the first place to the dictionary.
Deep learning. Just how deep are we talking about?
And that's two words.
Yeah.
you said two words to the dictionary.
They have, arasa, which is people around the age of 30. Ganmi, which is gaze at something without hesitation, so that would just be like instant staring. Yuru Kiara, which is a cute and soothing mascot character, so of any kind, a Yuru Kiara is anything that is a mascot. Guguru, searching on the internet.
Yeah, so it's my... Googling.
So yeah. Google.
Googleoo.
Googleoo.
I love that.
Googleoo.
Wow. So they've caught on to the trend of Googling. But here is the one that has really got my brain racking. I do not know where you would even use this in a sentence. Honey trapu, or honey trap. Like, who would use that word in a sentence?
Again, that's two words. It's not a word you add to the dictionary.
Okay, can you tell us a definition of honey trap?
No. I don't know it. There's nothing in here that says what it is either.
Is it like someone's girlfriend who's really a boyfriend and give me a honey trap.
Honey trap is a 2014 crime drama film starring Jessica Sula, Lucien, Lav Scott, and I don't even know how to say that name.
Well, it's an American film.
It got a 5.8 out of 10 on IMDb, but it is 88% on Rotten Tomatoes. What is a honey trap girl? A teenage girl has been convicted of murdering a boy of 16. Oh, this is just a news article.
No, I got it. A stratagem in which irresistible bait is used to lure a victim.
Okay.
Honey trap.
Ooh.
So it's like a siren. Or
Or when Bugs Bunny used to dress up in drag. To hell for fun.
Kind of. Here's Urban Dictionary. Says where a woman pays another woman to flirt with her boyfriend to see if he flirts back, a way to catch cheating.
Oh.
Oh. That's evil.
Isn't it? That seems pretty dishonest, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I would never want to fall into a honey trap. Not that I ever would.
Well, there's a lot of definitions. Pick one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me that the definition is like, trying to capture somebody by using beauty or something good looking.
Mm-hmm. Or honey.
So that's a first.
Falls into a hole full of honey.
Yeah. That's a first for me. So I didn't know that was a thing, but apparently it is a thing. If anybody out there on the internet knew what honey trap was before we did, please let us know how far behind on the times we are.
And
congratulations,
you've done it.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. So, all right, let's move on.
So why don't we move from one word to another word? Let's talk about buzzwords.
Nice segue. There we go.
Yes, because it is that time of year again in Japan where the Ryokoko Taisho Buzzword Contest is being held, where all the terms related to Japan's biggest trends and news stories have come to compete and be that one buzzword. And I have a list of all the buzzwords from all the popular anime, and I'm not going to read them all, but let's have some fun with this.
Okay, so we're not talking about trigger words, right?
Right. No, okay. Not trigger words. Unless, of course, they're words that were featured in a trigger anime. So I'm going to read off some of these, and you guys have to guess where it comes from.
What anime?
What show is it from? Which anime is it from?
Okay, yeah, that sounds like fun.
All right. Okay, so here's the first one. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I could... All right, if I apologize in advance if I do some really bad female voices.
Okay.
Sono namae no hitoshi shiranai.
This is a buzzword.
Yeah, a buzzword.
That was said in an anime.
Yep.
I have no idea, Evan.
Actually, I did kind of...
Should I read it again?
Yes.
Sono namae no hitoshi shiranai.
I heard hitoshi.
I don't know.
I think that's a Japanese word.
Okay. Well, in English, it's I don't know anybody by that name.
Oh, yeah. That's why. That's
so it was from
Eromanga
Sensei. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
So we knew Eromanga the English.
All right. Let's see. Here's the next one. Maji Yabukune.
This is going to be really difficult.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. I don't know. Give us the English.
All right. Isn't that pretty wicked?
Oh, that... No.
Oh, wait a second.
What?
Isn't that pretty wicked was from... Oh, wasn't that from Dragon Maid? That was Kana?
That is correct.
Oh, yeah, that's Kana. Wicked.
So here's an actual word that... Not a phrase. Datenshi.
One more time?
Datenshi.
Datenshi. Oh, is it prison school?
No, not prison school.
Oh,
remember, this is from 2017 anime.
It sounds like detention.
No. All right, this will give it away. Yeah. Useless Angel.
From Gabriel Dropout?
That is correct.
Oh, I was about to say, that was a giveaway? I completely forgot.
All right, how about Doki no Waku Waku?
That sounds familiar. I mean, but anybody knows Doki Doki. Doki Doki Waku Waku. Oh, man. I feel like I just watched this. Is it from the winter anime?
Technically a winter, but it didn't air here until the summer.
Really?
Let's just say it's a trigger phrase.
But it didn't air here. So... Didn't air here till the summer? Oh, yeah. Little Witch Academia.
That's correct.
Woo! Ding, 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 where? Yay!
Okay, let's see.
We should have been doing this from the start.
All right, this one might be something that Andrew might know. Sushi Zanmai. Sushi Zanmai.
You know anybody who likes sushi? Any characters like sushi?
What is it in English?
It doesn't say what it's in English.
I don't know. It beats me.
Kakegurui.
Oh. Nah, I don't know that one. Oh, I still haven't finished Kakegurui now that I think about it. I have to get the last couple episodes.
All right, how about... Okay, he'll be the last one.
Okay.
Tadashi Maho Hashiri Karederu.
Something about magic. I heard Maho in there. One more time.
Tadashi Maho Hashiri Karaderu.
Nope. I got nothing.
Mm-mm. All right. So in English, it is translated as, however, magic comes out of your butt.
Nice.
I don't know that one.
I still don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know that one at all.
Okay, so that was from Magical Circle Guru Guru.
Okay.
That was like one of the things that the warning, oh, if you learn this, you could do this. However, if you do it wrong, magic comes out of your butt.
Okay. Well, hey, anybody playing at home, did you do better than we did? Probably. But let us know. That was fun.
Okay, cool. So
they have a competition every year. Explain this to me. They have a competition every year to find out what the best buzzword of anime is. So it's basically like...
Well, it's not just anime. It's anime, manga, video games. It's everything within entertainment or even the news.
Okay, so it's basically like the pop culture of Japan. What is going to be... Almost like what's going to be the best meme of 2017.
Basically, like this was... They've been doing this for decades. And like, Japan is basically... created the meme of the year before anyone else did it.
Interesting. All right, so what would be the meme of the year for 2017 in America?
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump's Twitter page.
Kevin Spacey's career.
Oh my gosh.
We don't talk about that on this show.
We don't, no. That's right. We have to tell Andrew all the celebrities that you're not supposed to like anymore. Well, I know there is the Blend S meme that has been trending across in America too. The whole smile, sweet, sadistic, and then someone else adding an S to that end.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
yeah,
us
that's
taking
right.
one meme from another.
I do remember one that. I have seen that one around.
Oh, yeah. But that one's still kind of Japanese in nature, though, isn't
that
it?
That is true, but for some reason, Americans are clinging onto it more than Japan is.
Mm.
Which is just goes to show how popular it's been getting over here. And if you haven't watched Blend S, listeners, you have to. It is surprisingly good.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I was not expecting it to be as good as it is, but it is a... It may not be one of the best of the show.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
best of the season. What am I saying?
It may be one of the best of the season. Same with the Sisters All You Need. Like, I've been shocked by how good that show has gotten.
Yeah, I know. I really need to get back onto that show because I have not continued it in the way that I said I was going to.
Considering that you're the one who pushed me to keep on watching it.
Yeah, I know. Hey, that reminds me, which you wanted me to watch a show at some point that we never talked about. Let's slip into what we're watching.
Okay.
Real quick right now, because we do have one specific thing that we want to talk about, but I also want to discuss, because you wanted me to watch Virgin Bitch.
Yes, my girlfriend is show bitch.
Yeah, so I watched the first episode of that, as I said that I would.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't hate it. I actually thought it was kind of fun.
Yeah, I told you. It's more of like that Setokai Yakumendo show.
Yakuindomo?
Yeah.
Yeah, Yakuindomo show than Yamada's first time or ever. And if you, like, the sex jokes here get more brutal as the episodes go on, but I feel like they're really funny.
It's going to be hard to compare to Setokai Yakuindomo. That show is utterly hilarious.
Yeah, see, that show is 100% tongue-in-cheek, where Showbitch is kind of...
Yeah, see, I'm much more...
It's
of a
more tongue... about misunderstandings than tongue-in-cheek, but yeah. Funny misunderstandings.
Yeah, see, I'm going to have to give it a shot myself, because I haven't started watching it yet. I actually haven't really even... The only thing I started watching this season is Food Wars so far, because I still have to finish all my old shows from last season.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you, do you also notice the change in animation in this season?
Only slightly. I'm not going to say that it's really, really blatant and in your face as to how different it is, but some of the animation does seem a little bit lazier.
Yeah.
Even though all the characters are exactly the same, the show's animation doesn't have as much punch to it, I guess.
Right.
It's a lot flatter. It's a lot flatter.
See, that was the complaint I made on my show, just how flat and just bland it is compared to the past two seasons. I mean, even when they show the reactions to the people eating, it's not as energetic as the past two seasons.
Right.
Yeah, and same with the super deformed, the SD of all the characters. It's a little bit on one plane rather than it's just not as dynamic.
Mm. Yeah.
I would be inclined to agree.
Ugh. But it's still Food Wars.
Yeah, it's still entertaining.
So we have
My original point was I do much prefer tongue-in-cheek sex humor than I prefer actual sex humor. I actually think...
I think the thing that makes this one different than other ones is there's this innocence to it. You know, she really does not know the position that she's putting herself in.
Right.
Like that, and I think there's a little bit of a charming characteristic to her because of that, where it's just like, oh, she's just like really dumb.
Yeah.
Like that's, and I think that's what makes it better and a lot more special than something like Bigata HK.
Right.
That show's just disgusting.
You still have to give credit in this one of Showbitch to the voice actress, Awa Yuki, who's gone from being a little Nazi girl in the beginning of the season in Tiny the Evil to being the biggest idiot on the planet in Aho Girl to a character like this.
Yeah, right?
I love Aho Girl.
It's a very dynamic range that she has in her voice acting skills, and it's...
Right.
It's
not to mention Froppy. Froppy in My Hero Academia. That's her as well.
Really? Okay, well, really? That is another level...
Speaking of Aho Girl, when I was in Japan, they were selling the 10th volume of the Aho Girl manga. Yep. And you could buy a $35 pack of the manga and the first four episodes of the DVD. And I almost did it. But I was like, no, $36 is a lot.
It is a lot.
And the first four episodes on Blu-ray that I can't even watch because it's going to be region locked. So
No. We have the same region in Japan as we do in America.
We do not. We are region 1, the Japan is region 2.
No, we're region A. We're both region A for Blu-ray.
Oh, for Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that Blu-ray was different. Because DVD is region 1 and their DVD is region 2.
That is correct. Oh. But we are both region A.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's kind of cool.
Blu-ray.
Hmm.
Yes. Okay. So, but the meat of... the meat of what we wanted to talk about for what we're watching is Andrew and I, more so I, made a purchase months ago that I'd forgotten about. I pre-ordered the Blu-ray DVD combo pack of the English dub of Your Name. And so we finally got to sit down and watch Your Name. So.
Yeah, the long-awaited wait.
Yeah, which has been also marked as the example of the rise of the anime industry and how the anime industry has now become a $2.0 trillion industry. Yen, not dollar, $2 trillion industry.
Which is a which still is a multi-billion dollar industry. I think that's a $20.2 billion if you round it up.
Yeah. Using Your Name as an example of that. Your Name, of course, was the show that was on everybody's watch list, which was the best show of the year, according to numbers and reviews and everything like that. Andrew, what did you think of it?
It was animated beautifully. It was acted beautifully. The pacing was horrible, and the story was confusing.
It was a pacing train wreck.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say that the story was confusing, because the story was actually really straightforward, but it is not as good as everybody says it is. I am sorry.
Yeah, I did not enjoy Your Name as much as everybody set my expectations to enjoy it.
Yeah, it was an entertaining watch. But it's not going on my list of this could beat Hosoda. Because it won't.
It won't beat Hosoda. I wrote a 5-star review of this movie on the Electric Sisterhood page. I loved it. I enjoyed it. But I understand that sometimes movies like this can get overhyped. And because of that, your experience watching it could suffer.
Yeah.
And I don't even think that it was my experience watching it. Because I went into it being like, oh boy, this is going to be fun. And then just by the end, I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, like that was a thing that happened. Because their story and everything that happens to them along the way is just very circumstantial. And it didn't leave me thinking, you know, wow. Oh man, like what a love story.
So I've been watching a lot of video essays on movies and everything nowadays. And one of the things that keeps popping up in a lot of things is if you take a story and you put it on a grand scale of things, then suddenly for the audience, the expectations get so large that they're too large, that we don't care about them anymore. And for anybody who has seen Your Name, you know what I'm talking about. When the stakes of, let's say, an action movie where the world is at risk. Let's say, for example, Lord of the Rings. Let's talk about Lord of the Rings. The stakes in Lord of the Rings get so exponentially big with these huge scale battles and everything like that. You really lose interest in who is living and who is dying in this, right? Because there are so many people involved that you're like, well, who am I supposed to really focus on and care about in this? And it kind of jumbles itself up and gets a little confusing. However, in a typical love story, it's between one, like person A and person B, and they meet somewhere, there's some struggles, and then they fall in love, and then they, you know, get together. That's the basis of a really nice, well put together story. Even in an action movie, when like an action movie is based on, like, for example, Ransom with Mel Gibson and his son is taken away. That's the only stakes at this. If Mel Gibson had to save the world and save his son, people would care less. But just because Mel Gibson is trying to fight back for his son, we really, really care about and are invested in his venture. Another great
kind of like in Commando, which Arnold Schwarzenegger with him trying to save his daughter.
Yeah. Another really great example of this is the reason why Die Hard 1 is so good and Die Hard 4 sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. If you want sucky, try watching the 5th Die Hard.
Oh, movie. That one's even worse.
Oh no. because I actually like Live Free or Die Hard.
Yeah, I did too.
Because I did too. I like Live Free or Die Hard for what it was. I prefer the R-rated cut, though, because I feel like they got more of what Die Hard's all about in the R-rated cut. But A Good Day to Die Hard blows monkey chunks.
Awful. Yeah, that was a terrible... That movie is
2 hours of Bruce Willis just screaming, I'm on vacation! Yeah. I'm on vacation!
It was a pretty unwatchable movie. But, and it... You also, and then you go back to the Spectro and you're just like, John Wick. He's like, oh, somebody killed his dog. I guess he's going to kill everybody else. You know, it's pretty straightforward. Pretty great.
And then John Wick 2 comes out and it's, oh, he's got a new dog and they're trying to kill John Wick. So he's going to kill them this time.
Yeah, again. It was awesome.
It
was awesome. But again, that grand scale changes. But bringing it back to Your Name. I think fundamentally the movie suffers from that flaw. It tried to take a simple story that had some really awesome elements to it that didn't need to be explained. And then they're like, but no, there's this whole thing behind it. And it, suddenly you're like, I don't really care about that anymore. Like, we'll go back to just when the people were switching bodies. That was cool.
Yeah, yes, it's true. And...
They could have made three different movies out of the plot of Your Name.
And I think we have to go back to the pacing, because the pacing of the movie was a mess.
It should have been a 6-episode miniseries.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of, you know, well, why does this character get more screen time than this character? And why did we miss out on this part of the story, but then it decided to tell this part of the story? And then, why is this longer than this? And then it explains more. You know, it's a lot of thinking about that and just not understanding why things were the way they were as far as the editing went. Mm-hmm. And why they decided to focus on certain points of the story that probably didn't need to be focused on more than other points of the story. And it kind of ruined my watching experience. Not going in thinking that, oh my gosh, it's going to be the best thing ever, but going in knowing that everybody loves this movie. Like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to see why everybody loves this movie. And then the disappointment... No, I was just saying, and then just like the disappointment of being like, oh, this movie just isn't as good as everybody says it is.
So it's kind of like your Titanic.
My Titanic.
Okay, so let's rewind to back... Okay, let me paint you a picture. It's 1998. Like, Titanic is the biggest movie of all time. And I finally get a chance to watch it after everyone's told me how amazing of a movie it is. I stopped watching it 80 minutes into it because I got bored as fuck of it. And I stopped watching.
It's a pretty bad movie.
It is a bad movie.
Yeah. No, yeah. Exactly. It's kind of... Like, and this, it, for Andrew and I, the same thing was with The Departed, when The Departed came out. What a trash movie that is. Like, everybody loves, especially if you're from Boston, everybody loves The Departed. It is a awful movie. It is so bad. Like,
Boondock Saints is the true Boston film.
It's true,
it
actually.
Really is.
Actually, that is so true. I will totally agree with that.
Like, yeah, it's like, oh, man. I hated that movie so much, but everybody here was like, you gotta see The Departed!
And it takes
the
place
potted,
in Boston.
The Departed.
It takes place in Boston, oh my god.
Ship it up to Boston, whoa!
The Drumkick Murphys are in the soundtrack, it's amazing.
And that's why Flogging Molly isn't as popular, even though they should be more popular than the Dropkick Murphys, because they're fucking better.
They go to the Quincy shipyard.
Park the car in Harvard Yard.
This is all Your Name, of course, that we're talking about.
Yes. Yes, in Your Name, they park the car in Harvard Yard.
But as far as like a love story goes, it's cute, but I didn't feel like its emotional draw as far as a story was as prominent and as important as a movie such as The Girl Who Leapt Through Time was.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
funny because Funimation put a trailer for The Girl Who Leapt Through Time before their movie, and it's like, hey, do you want to see another movie like this that is exponentially better? Here you go!
Like, The Girl Who Leapt Through Time is a well-paced, very, very cute and lovely, sad, romantic story.
Small.
Very story. Small.
Small scale story.
And yes. I think that is, in fact, what my problem with Your Name was it started small and I was like, oh, I'm interested, and then got so big into this twist where it's just like, oh, I bet you didn't see that coming. And I was like, you're right, movie, I didn't see that coming, and I really wish it just never happened.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna leave it at that.
Switch over to what made the movie so great though, which was the animation, which was so good.
So the guy who made this movie and all of his other films, he makes art. Mm. Like, really, really beautiful art.
He should do music videos.
Yeah, that would be great. If he did music videos, that'd be great. But, you know, movies like Garden of Words and 3 centimeters per second.
Five centimeters per second.
You're thinking of the prequel. 3 centimeters.
No, yeah,
and Children Who Chase Lost Voices.
Yeah, are all very, very beautifully animated and beautifully lit. Specifically, yes. His lighting, very, very well done in those departments. And
every frame is a painting,
metaphorically, not literally, like that new movie about Vincent Van Gogh,
which Bloody I want to see.
I do want to see that too. I think it's amazing that they made a film out of like water paintings.
Yeah. But just to finish up, yes, there are redeeming qualities to watching Your Name. Just don't go in expecting the story to be at the level of something that Hosoda wrote, because I don't think it's at that level yet.
All right.
Please feel free to email us and tell us how wrong we are about our opinions.
And then,
right. And you can read my thoughts on this movie, too, in my written review, which hopefully John will add
a link
to the description of that.
I will. I will post
that. By the way, I'm surprised they didn't touch on the soundtrack to the movie, because the Rad Wimps did a phenomenal job with the soundtrack to this film.
I thought it was okay.
Well, they're a Japanese band, right?
Yes.
So you have to realize that the cut of the movie that we saw, because we watched it in English, all the lyrics were replaced by Todd Haberkorn singing, and it was
that wasn't Todd Haberkorn. That was Rad Wimps. They actually did all of the songs in English.
Oh well, then never mind. Then it was awkward. I thought all the songs were really awkward.
Yeah. Watch it in Japanese with the original lyrics, because the soundtrack is so much better in the Japanese.
Probably. I can imagine. Yeah, it's the English soundtrack is really, really awkward, because the lyrics just don't translate that well.
Yeah, and
I do make that point in my review, by the way.
But then again, that really does further prove my point that the star director would be good at making music videos, because he put like 3 music videos in his movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, right off the bat. So.
Yes. This is 100% true.
All right. One last question for you, John.
Sure.
Since you can actually answer this, which do you prefer? Your Name or A Silent Voice?
A Silent Voice was an exponentially better movie.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Like,
I know we'll talk about this in a future thing, but yeah.
When I finally get to see it.
Night and Day, A Silent Voice is a phenomenal film over Your Name.
Yeah, I will say that A Silent Voice is the film that should have gotten the attention over Your Name. Because
yes.
I feel like A Silent Voice is telling a story that nobody is telling.
Yeah.
Whether it's in anime, live action, Hollywood, British cinema, French cinema, nobody is telling a story like A Silent Voice had told.
Oh, it was so beautiful. Such a wonderful story. Maybe a little far-fetched at times, but so good.
Yes.
Like, yeah, you gotta see A Silent Voice. That is my pick for anime movie of the year.
Agreed. Maybe even just animated feature of 2017.
Well, hey, there are at least 7 anime films from Japan that have been put into the drawing to be put in Best Foreign Film.
Sword Art Online. Like, you got a fucking chance.
Was that one of them?
Yes!
No way.
We'll see. It's going to win because you get to see Asuna's nipples.
Yes, you do. You get to see Asuna's
No, it's not side boob. You get to see her naked chest. seeing how much like anime fans just masturbate all over Sword Art Online, and it's the best anime ever. It's a good anime, guys. Calm down. It is not the best anime ever.
It's no Danmachi. It is certainly no Konosuba. It's no Dot Hack.
You're naming very cult classic animes. So people would say the same thing right back to you, but guys, Sword Art Online is a good anime. Sword Art Online is not the best anime.
It's not even close.
Neither is Tiger and Bunny Japan. Why do you keep putting that as number one?
I watched 2 episodes of that.
Yeah.
There's your answer.
Andrew.
Hi.
Time has come.
Yes.
How was Japan?
I liked it.
Good. All right. Thank you. Okay, bye. No. So Andrew was over in Japan doing a film project, and he went to Taipei, Taiwan. He went to the Hong Kong airport. He went to Detroit. So tell us.
I will tell you what. Detroit has the best airport I have ever been in, and it's probably the best part of Detroit.
Is it full of Robocops everywhere?
There's just like 80 bronze statues of Robocop everywhere and Chick-fil-A. So I'm like, yes, this place is great.
Hey, remember, that's where Yuri went to ice skate in Yuri on Ice.
Detroit?
Detroit!
Yeah. The Detroit airport.
Yep, there he is.
Yeah, it's just like...
This is going to be great for my 5-hour layover. I get to watch Yuri skate.
Can you hear my heartbeat?
I still haven't watched that show.
It's pretty
damn good show.
Yeah, it's
damn good
show.
All right.
It's gay, but damn good gay.
Yeah. So, in your travels,
yes.
What was the best thing that you got to do while you were there?
I don't like that question because the best thing I got to do was leave the country.
What? Oh, wait, leave here to go to Japan.
So, what?
Oh, I thought you said, wait, the best thing was leaving Japan? It was like,
no,
that does not make sense.
Leaving the country.
Yes.
Like the United States.
Yeah.
Like, everybody I think that's asked the me, best what thing. Was your favorite part? And I was just like, not being in the United States? there's nothing that I did over there that sticks out as, oh my gosh, this is the best thing I've ever done. But the fact that I was just outside of the United States experiencing a different culture, that whole experience was the best part.
And the fans want to know precisely how many of the places that we recommended you go and see while you're in Japan, how many of those did you go to?
It depends on what you're talking about. Are you talking about buildings inside Akihabara or the places in Tokyo?
Yes.
Tokyo?
Whichever.
Like, 2 places.
Yeah.
I went to Akihabara and I went to Nakano.
Was one of them the Parasite Museum?
No.
Was one of them the robot restaurant?
No.
Then we're done with this conversation.
Yes. Well, so the robot restaurant is in Kabukicho.
Yep.
Which
is where all the Yakuza hang out.
Well, that's where they used to hang out. So Kabukicho is completely cleaned up now from what it used
to
be. Really? It used to be all adult entertainment and like nudie shows and bars, and which they still have a Golden Guy, which is a huge string of bars, and it looks like a very unsavory place, but it's actually pretty fun.
So it's very nice. How are the girls?
So Kabukicho has been completely rerouted, and there's actually like children running around Kabukicho now. There's places to go, and that's where Robot Restaurant is, and no, I did not go yet, but I will go next time. The Parasite Museum was in Meguro, I believe. And that's south of where I was, and it was pretty far away. So no, I did not go to Kabukicho. I mean, Meguro.
So, how was it living there in Japan, not necessarily, like, only knowing survival Japanese?
It was fine. I actually had a really fun time talking to store clerks and finding products and communicating with them on a very basic level of understanding where we had these weird conversations that were half Japanese and half gestures.
Half charades.
Yeah, half charades to one another. And I know just enough Japanese to get by and talk to people. And if they speak Japanese to me, I'm like, whoa, slow down, chief. Like, that's not my game. But
chief-san.
But if they do talk to me in Japanese, I do kind of understand what they're saying to me, which is kind of interesting. Because your brain, because life, real life doesn't have subtitles like anime does, your brain has to automatically kind of go into fight or flight mode, where when somebody's speaking to you, it tries a lot harder to understand it in that very moment. And sometimes it actually worked pretty well. And it usually responded with, it was with me starting the conversation in Japanese, and they would continue the conversation in Japanese, and I'd be like, whoa, no. Like, that's all I know in Japanese, okay?
And so what was the thing that you said the most in Japanese? While you were there, what was the Japanese phrase you used the most?
Hakase denye?
No, yeah. The phrase I used the most was arimasu ka, which is, do you have? Uh-huh. So I would say something and then arimasu ka, and to see if they had a product. So.
But you didn't get my manga.
No, they did not have your manga that I look for, but I did buy two complete sets of Elfin Lied.
Well, one complete, one nearly complete.
Yeah, one of them. So here's the fun fact about Elfin Lied in Japan. It is fully collectible after a very long search. But volume 6 of Elfin Lied specifically is impossible to find and nowhere available.
Unless you buy every single volume.
Well, and that was a secondhand volume.
Yeah.
So if you buy Elfin Lied brand new, there will be no volume 6.
That's weird.
But if you buy it used, you will be lucky to find a volume 6.
So here's my question. Why is that? Is there something in volume 6 that's controversial that they stopped printing it?
I don't think so. I have it behind me and I could check.
Trump makes an appearance.
One second. One second. So, here in my hand, I have an actual volume of Elfin Lied. How exciting. And I'm looking right now inside my favorite manga ever and get to read all this in Japanese. So this is the volume. Oh, wow. This is very early in the anime, actually. So the answer would be no. This is where Mariko first shows up.
Okay.
So they're gonna start hunting Lucy and Nana.
Start? This isn't where the anime ends?
Yeah, okay. So volume 6, let's see where it actually ends. So the end of volume 6 is close to where the anime ends, but it's not that close.
Hmm.
Very interesting.
Okay.
So volume 7 is actually the point where the anime ends.
Interesting.
All right, okay, so here are two questions for you while we're on the subject of anime. When walking around Akihabara, what was, like, the big show that you saw just plastered everywhere, or for the most part, or if there was more than one?
So, in most of the stores, and mostly around town, the things that you saw the most were, one, new game. Mm-hmm. New game was everywhere. And to me, that was awesome.
It's a great show.
Yeah, because I love New Game and I can consume all those products. Two, Himoto-chan.
Yep.
Everywhere. Absolutely everywhere.
And let me tell you, because I know that you're not that big of a fan, the second season of Umaru-chan has been amazing. Like, well, there is character development that you would not expect from that show.
I'm going to have to jump back on it, to be completely honest, because I was watching bits and pieces of it while I was in Japan, and I thought it was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to have to jump back on it and give it another shot.
Worst case scenario, you just come over to my house, we'll watch it all on Blu-ray, and...
Nice. Third is Aero Manga Sensei. Aero Manga Sensei was everywhere. So those three things I saw a lot of. And then every once in a while I would see some Psycho stuff, which was really nice for me. There was some Sakura Quest. There's actually a pretty good amount of Konosuba stuff. Like, there's a lot of Konosuba stuff, which was really cool. And then I would say first and foremost, at the top, number one, which should not be a surprise, is Love Live. Akihabara is a Love Live nightmare. Like, you can't go anywhere without hearing some stupid Love Live song, seeing some stupid Love Live characters dressed in some weird costume. And I'm not saying stupid because I hate Love Live. I actually rather enjoy Love Live, but it's everywhere. And to walk into a store and just see Love Live and Love Live and Love Live and Love Live, you're just like, oh my gosh, I think somebody wants me to buy Love Live stuff. You know?
Yeah, her name's Kai.
Yeah. but you know what I mean?
Yes.
So, yeah, so
it's
stupidly
popular, like back in the day when... All right, so this is an example of something that I hated, but everyone loved. When Glee was super popular and it was everywhere.
Yeah. So that's what I found. That was all the content that was 100% popular.
How many advertisements from maids on the side of the street did you get?
My entire time there, I only took one advertisement from a street maid.
Yeah.
One. And...
Was she cute?
I don't know. I didn't even pay attention. I really...
How dare you, good sir?
I really, really, really just wanted to kind of keep on my way and not take ads like a tourist or something. Like
right,
a foreigner.
Right. Okay.
Hygiene.
All right. Here. Okay. How many things of tissues did you collect?
One.
Just the one?
One packet of tissues. And no, yeah, that was from somebody else and it wasn't a maid. Which, I got to be honest, guys, putting an advertisement inside a pack of tissues is a really, really good marketing idea.
It
is. Because you have no reason to not take a pack of tissues. Because everybody could use a pack of tissues, and you just put an advertisement inside of it.
Right, it's not like the old 1920s when everyone was carrying handkerchiefs. No, we carry tissues.
I found a pack of tissues in a sweatshirt I took out for this winter.
Yeah.
And it was from last winter. Probably because I had a cold.
Well, and the thing is this was explained to me before, and how smart that is, and how great it is that you can put an advertisement inside something that everybody needs and everybody uses on a daily basis, and they won't just throw it out because they'll actually use it. It's really smart. So I didn't mind taking a pack of tissues for that because I would need a pack of tissues.
Speaking of.
Is it tight?
So before I answer more questions.
Yeah.
Throughout my entire journey over in Japan, I wrote down my own talking points that I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And, sure, go right ahead.
But before that, I also wrote down some Japan trip proverbs. Things that I learned as a foreign prophet going through the lands of Nippon and writing down my experience in the form of proverbs.
Okay.
So in no specific order, some of them are funny, some of them are not. Here we go.
Okay, so for our listeners, just picture Andrew right now dressed as Confucius.
Kind
of. Okay, hang on. Let me find some Zen music.
I don't know if that's necessary.
I can't do that.
No Zen music.
No Zen music.
No, because I'm going to start, like... Sure, whatever. Okay. Arcades are awesome, but amazingly gross because you can smoke.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a problem everywhere, right?
Yeah.
So you wanted to go to arcades all the time.
Yeah. Cause I wanted to go play Tekken. Yeah. Like I very, very badly wanted to go into an arcade and play some Tekken. And I did that once. But in every single cabinet based arcade, they also allow indoor smoking. I was wearing my really nice outing clothes. Like, I was wearing my nice custom sweatshirt, I was wearing my jeans, and I was wearing, you know, shirts that I really enjoyed. and I didn't want them smelling like smoke, especially because I had to pack it all in my suitcase, which would also end up smelling like smoke. So, unfortunately, Japan, you get a really, really bad mark on how cool your arcades are because you can smoke inside of them. Stop being gross. Next point.
Yes.
I made the realization that there aren't a lot of porn shops. There are. There's just so much porn, they have to contain it in so many buildings.
You see, I actually remember that, because I remember going to Akihabara back in 2007, and there were more porn shops than anime shops.
And it's more, there's a lot of really memorable adult shops there, like, just outside it'll be like
and they show it on the big screen too, by the way.
What?
A couple of the porn shops I went to, they were, like, showing the porn on big screens.
Oh, not that I saw. Oh, this is the one that everybody's been waiting to hear. Panty vending machines do exist. Pictures do not, because the buildings are incredibly small and employees can always see you. So I could not snap a picture of panty vending machines. Except I lied. I did snap a picture of panty vending machines.
Okay. So elaborate on that. Why could you not take pictures of them?
Okay. So, well, I mean, when you're in most stores in Japan, you cannot take pictures regardless. But everybody kept talking about M's.
Yep.
You know, the building M's, which is like, oh my gosh, it's a 6-story sex shop. Oh, guys, it's really not that impressive. You walk into the store and the corridors are so thin and everything is crushed into such a tiny little space that it's not really a 6-story porn shop. You could fit it all on one floor if they were big enough. But it's M's is actually a tiny store.
Dare I ask, how much were they charging for the vending machines?
500 yen? So here's something that I am very reluctant to admit. When I was there, when I was at Nakano Broadway specifically, because Nakano Broadway is, in my opinion, probably better than Akihabara. In Nakano Broadway, they have a Toma Toys store. And if you don't know what Toma Toys is like the number one under Tenga, who make, you know, Ona Holes and stuff. And I just wanted to go in. I almost didn't go in the store. Like, as I was standing outside the store, I was just like, I have to go in because I have to talk about this on the show. And, like, I think that people would be really disappointed if I didn't walk into that store so that I could talk about it on the show. So I walk into the store, and oh my gosh, like, is it just, it's just wall-to-wall Ona holes. And you're just like, what? Holy crap.
I'm suddenly less comfortable.
Yeah, it is. It's seriously very, very uncomfortable being in these stores.
All you can do is just walk in and laugh. That's what I do.
Yeah, kind of. And some of the things that they sell are very, like, extravagantly wow, like that's like a really, really big hole, or, you know, like, so
is it like stuff you can find on J-List, or is it like beyond that?
No, it's most of the stuff you can find on J-List. It's just a big store of it, and you can actually see how much of it actually exists, is one of the things I'm saying. In the Toma Toys store in Nakano Broadway, they have a wall that has a it's basically a peg wall that has plastic bags of panties in them. And inside the plastic bag of panties is a photograph of the girl wearing those panties. So when you buy those pairs of panties, you also get a photograph of the girl wearing those panties.
I feel like that can go down some really bad paths.
Yeah. Yeah, I
what if you buy that and you see the... What if someone who is not mentally stable buys it, sees the photograph, and one day finds that girl?
I think their faces were censored.
Oh, okay.
But the photographs were existing. To me, I was just like, whoa, like that. I did not expect that at all. So now that I was able to explain the creepiness of Japan, at least one aspect of it, next one. Animate is the best store, is the store with all the best current stuff for anime, unless you hate current anime. then it's the worst stuff. So for me, I loved the Animate store. I walked into Animate, and it was just absolutely amazing. That's where they had all the Konosuba stuff. That's where they had all the Psychonauts stuff. That's where they had all the Sakura Quest stuff. They had all the new game stuff. They had all the Umaru-chan stuff. They had all the Arrow Manga Sensei stuff. But they also had an entire wall of art books. It's where I bought the new game visual art book. Oh my gosh. It was the best. I loved the Animate store. So if you guys have a chance, definitely go to Animate. Okay. Especially if you like current anime, like I do.
Mm.
Go ahead. Navigating, even with a map, is nearly impossible. The map only raises your luck skill by a little.
Mm.
So I got lost in Japan many, 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 many times. I did not get lost on the train. The trains are very straightforward. I had to kind of stop and think for a couple minutes while I was at the train stations, but I never got lost. As soon as I left the train stations, you're just thrown into the city. And they do have station maps, and of course I couldn't use my data over there, so my Google Maps didn't work.
So were the subways as crowded as they depict them in Japanese documentaries and footage and stuff?
Not when I was there, but I also don't really notice because I'm from Boston and that's normal.
Like, that is true.
Did you have station attendants pushing people physically into the train cars?
No.
Okay.
And I think that's like a very circumstantial thing. But they do get that busy in the mornings, I guess, like for the morning commute and the evening commute. But never once when I was riding the trains did I ever have that issue. Mm. It's just like, everybody's just like, oh my gosh, you cannot believe the train crowding. I was like, you have never ridden the Green Line after a Bruins game or a Red Sox game. It's worse.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Speaking English automatically makes you friends with anyone else who speaks English. Hmm. This leads into the next one. Seeing foreigners in another country is really weird, even though I am also the foreigner. Which also leads to my next one. Greek Asian food is amazing. I have a story about that later. I forgot to eat with lots of anime and walking. By the end of day one, I was super wobbly. This is how I found the Greek man and his storefront window. We both spoke English, so we were friends, and he is awesome.
All right, so explain the Greek man.
So, on the very edge of Akihabara, which is where my hotel was, if you cross the street from my hotel, right across the street, it's actually like double lane traffic, so you have to walk all the way across the street and under the subway or the monorail in order to get over there. Right in front of you is a man who is Greek. He has beef kebabs and chicken kebabs, you know, going on the roulette wheel or on the spinning wheels, and he makes Greek Asian food. So he takes the kebab meat and shaves it down, and then puts it into a rice bowl with some shaved lettuce and tomato, and then puts a sauce on it. I chose the garlic mayonnaise sauce, which was delicious. He was awesome because we both spoke English, and because I spoke English to him, it was just very like, hey, how you doing, my friends? You know, oh, I'm doing good. This is a great store. You make delicious food. Oh, thank you so much. You know, like it's almost like we spoke a secret code to one another.
Yeah.
So if you ever go to the store, I actually found that there are multiple storefronts, all owned by different people that are Greek in Akihabara. I don't know what it is with Greek people and their love of Japan, but
maybe it's the Japanese who have the love of Greece, and so the Greek know this and go to Japan.
Yeah, maybe. But if you have the chance, I found a Greek store that was the color orange. This one was red. And it's a very small storefront. It's over by one of the train stations. I forget which exit it was, but it was over by my hotel, so it was really nice.
What was the Greek man's name?
I did not get his name.
But you call him your friend.
But I did take a picture of him. So
you have a picture of him?
Yeah, and his storefront.
That's awesome.
Okay, let's see.
Well, maybe if you tag the store in the picture on Facebook, you might be able to find him.
It's true. He's always running that store. By the end of the night, Akihabara just becomes Dave and Buster's. So around 8 o'clock or so, Dave and Buster's just becomes this disgusting hub of all drunk people and smokers.
For anybody who doesn't know, Dave and Buster's is a chain of arcades, probably more towards the east. I'm not sure how many there are out west of the United States, but it's a restaurant. I put heavy air quotes on that. It's a restaurant, and it's a very large arcade.
Yeah, and after...
It's as much of a restaurant as King's Bowling is a restaurant. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. After a certain point, it's just Dave and Buster's is just filled with a bunch of dumb, drunk people who think that playing video games is cool and eclectic, and it's very annoying. And Akihabara is very much the same. Around 8 o'clock into midnight, it's just a bunch of drunk people coming out of taxis, stumbling around with a woman around their arm and smoking a cigarette.
Are you a crane game, baby? Yeah.
Why didn't you take selfies with them?
because they were like the scary kind of Japanese people, the ones who wear like snakeskin pants and like chains around their neck, and they have bleach blonde hair.
Yeah, hooligans.
Yeah, kind of.
Yankees.
I had one of those you want to dance moments. Like with somebody in the street, you know, like where you try to walk one way and they start walking the same way as you, as you're walking towards each other. And I got in this guy's way and he tried to intimidate me. I kind of stepped in front of him and then like kind of juked my way around him. And he like turned around and looked at me and was like, "Nande kore?" And then I just kind of ignored him and walked away because I was from Boston. I was just
did he realize that you were 3 feet taller than him?
No.
Did he like bend over? Like, do they? Nande yo!
Put his hands in his pockets and lean over really far.
Yeah. I just kind of ignored him and kept walking. And I was just like, yeah, whatever.
You should have done the chicken dance. What he did. Like an intimidating chicken dance.
Okay. Smoking is gross, no matter what language you speak.
That's true to life.
So there is an unbelievable amount of people who smoke in Japan. It is disgusting. Stop it.
And like, yet their life expectancy is so high.
It's apparently not, if they're all dying at 50. I just can't believe it. Like, don't we know by now as a modern society that smoking is bad for you? Like,
we put it in a hardcore anime video.
The thing about cigarettes in Japan is that they're not allowed to put the chemicals in the cigarettes like what we have in America.
Yeah, but there's a reason why they tell you to crawl in your house when it's on fire. Because
you don't want to smoke is bad.
Yeah, because putting smoke inside of your body is bad.
Right, right.
Like, you're not going to stand up in a house fire and just breathe it all in. It's, like, literally what you're doing when you're lighting something on fire in your face and breathing it in. So, yeah, smoking is bad for you, so stop doing it.
Unless you're Dennis Leary. Just keep on doing it if you're Dennis Leary. We know that's your thing.
I accidentally skipped ahead in the Zen song video, so we're going to lose the story elements within the song. It's an 8-hour and 5-minute track, by the way.
Yeah.
So...
Okay, walking around in stores randomly makes you mistakenly walk into the porn. Always. Into a, why is everything weird and different now? Oh. Yeah, so...
So everything just...
Air quotes and mistakenly, by the way.
No. actually mistakenly. You'll be walking around, and then all of a sudden you'll kind of walk into this new part of the store. And there's no transition, and there's no... like, apparent warning that says 18 plus only.
Well, granted, there may or may not have been a sign you couldn't read.
No, everywhere you go, there's a clear, very 18. Like, it's, there will always, and adults only will always be written in English.
Hmm. And that nobody checks for your ID or anything
nope,
like that?
Nobody checks for your ID. In Japan, if you are an adolescent in high school, good for you. Nobody will check your ID.
Is it just that you had facial hair and...
And a foreigner? Probably.
Yeah.
But seriously, there was... Nobody cared. Like, they just kind of expect you. It's like people walk up and be like, oh, I'm not 18 or older. I guess I should walk away. So that's probably the reason why you see animes with, like, middle schoolers going and buying porn games, like in Gamers.
Mm-hmm. Yes! I was about to bring that up.
Because they can do that.
Yeah, because you can do that, because literally nobody monitors you. I think
it's like, screw it, I need the money anyway.
Boop. Well, see, that's the thing. I think the only way they can actually monitor you is if you walk down there, buy something, and then they look at you and be like, you're not 18 years old, are you? You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so... I don't know. It's seriously, like, such a seamless transition that you'll just be walking around, and then all of a sudden you're in all the adult stuff.
Mm. It's kind of like when you walk around Spencer's Gifts.
Yeah, kind of.
The pedophile's garage sale.
Like, so...
The only place you can buy fuzzy a birthday card and fuzzy handcuffs.
No, I bought these speakers and a dildo.
I bought the squeaking dildo.
I bought a speaker dildo. So the thing is most of the time all the adult stuff is on a different floor. So if you walk into the main floor of a store, you'll either have to go upstairs or downstairs to go to either the hentai or the JAVs.
Kind of like the candy store in Boston.
Yes, that's right. I forgot about that.
Except there's no porn in those candy stores.
Yeah, just edible panties.
Yeah.
Oh,
that candy store. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I know what you're talking about now.
but there are some stores, like K-Books. If you go into K-Books, everything's on the same floor. So you go to K-Books and just be exploring the store, and then you'll kind of walk into the doujin section of the store, and you'll be like, oh. There's doujins here.
You'll just be, like, scrolling through mangas, and then suddenly it's like, these covers are getting weird!
Yeah. Some of the doujin stores were really cool. It was just like Hendone, but bigger.
Did you find anything there that you grabbed?
Maybe.
Maybe?
And that's the end of that conversation. After walking for about 11 hours, crouching down to look at the bottom shelves of glass cases for figures feels really great to stretch your legs. Yeah, so I was walking a lot and never sat down. And then, this is a true story. That's, like, straight up true. Like, I crouched down to look at the bottom case, display case of figurines. I was like, whoa. Like, this is magical. Okay. I feel like every Japanese man is judging me and sizing me up as I walk down the street. So I walk confidently and look tough like I belong there. Mystery solved as to why the stereotype of American exists.
That was a good one.
And 100% true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at him and his big nose.
Yeah.
His name's Michael.
Unless it's a 100 or a 500, coins are evil, and you will have too many of them, always.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah. You still have them.
I do, because Japan doesn't understand the use of dollar currency. For some reason, Japan loves their coins. I brought home probably $17 worth of coins from Japan, and I will never be able to exchange them unless I go back to Japan.
No, there is a currency exchange place you can go in Boston for that.
There is, but they don't take coins, they only take bills.
Really?
Pretty sure. I'm pretty sure currency exchange places only do bills.
I have to take you to the one in Peabody at the North Shore Mall, because I do believe that they also accept coins.
Alright. There is always at least one female customer at all times in the doujin shops, not meant for females only.
Yeah.
So, that was kind of a cool experience. Was whenever I was just in the doujin stores, it was like, oh, look. There's a girl here. It's kind of cool. It's like, it's... Okay, so at full disclosure of the doujin shops, most of the patrons in the doujin shops are very creepy.
No!
Yeah. Yes!
Really?
It's true. Most Japanese males that are in the doujin shops are not all there or very appealing to look at. And I'm sorry, that's just the truth. But there's always a female in there. Sometimes they're even with their significant other. And they just go into the doujin shops and... I don't know.
Does she make the faces like Kaye from Kiss Him, Not Me? Like those bug-eyed Charlie Brown mouth?
No, they kind of just look through the doujins like all the creepy guys do, like silently and just... And, oh man, I learned the technique. I learned the technique of going through doujins at a doujin shop. Like, so because they're set up library style and not hentai style, where you like kind of go through a filing cabinet, these are set up library style. So you take a chunk of them, like you find your favorite artist, you take the whole stack, pull it out, and then like go through really quick and then push it back in. So there were lots of people. So, and really cool story as well. I was in the Mandarake doujin shop, which is called Mandarake Deep. And there was a foreigner in there with me. And he must have been German or something. But he had a hand basket, like he was going grocery shopping and filling them up with doujins. And he went through every single shelf. And I, by the time that I was there, like the time that I spent, I only went in there to look for specific artists that I like for doujins. This guy went through every single shelf that was there. And I was only in there long enough to see him go through one aisle. Mm-hmm. There were like five aisles. But this guy went through every single one. I almost was thinking, this guy owns a doujin thing that he sells at conventions.
He sells doujins at conventions.
Yeah.
Right.
It's one of Hendane's associates.
Yeah.
That's how he gets his stuff.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. But it was pretty cool, actually.
You should have asked him.
I should have. Ero Manga Sensei is really huge for merchandising right now, and it has taught me how much I really do not need Ero Manga Sensei products. Buy more new game products instead.
Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody by that name.
Dodging the maids on the streets handing out ads is a cruel art, but just remember that they probably hate what they're doing as much as you do. Resist, 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 resist until resistance is effing impossible. That's how you save money and know what you're buying is worth buying. It is inevitable that you will buy things that you really wish you didn't buy later when you get home or are packing. And ironically, that didn't happen on this trip for me. Everything that I brought home with me, I was like, oh, that's really cool. Except, when I was in Japan, I found a Junji Ito book that I did not have. So, they sold everything that I already have there, but then I found a Junji Ito book that I did not have. So I bought that Junji Ito book is a compilation of all of his short stories. So I'm like incredibly excited to have this book. And then I was on my Instagram page to find out that Viz Media just posted, pre-order your Junji Ito book now! It's like, this is the one that I just bought. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
So,
now you can learn Japanese with Junji Ito.
Yeah. You have a better chance of making it through customs with all of your crap in your suitcase without having to claim anything. If you decide to ship them home, you have to claim them automatically. That's just a piece of advice. Mm-hmm. So bring enough suitcase space so that you can bring all your merchandise home. Because when you're going through customs, they only care about food. They don't really care about if you bought merchandise or not. They don't really check.
And if you have cash on you, they care about that.
No, they don't.
Yeah, a friend of mine. It happened to a friend of mine.
What?
They only allow you to carry, from certain countries, $10,000 across the border in cash. My friend had 13.
Really?
Yeah. Well, so he had to lie.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's a lot of ways to get around customs, and if you lie, then they don't really check it up on you. Especially if you're white, like me.
Sad but true.
Let's see. Open mouth coughing is totally cool to do here. Unless you're me. It's gross. Don't do that. So, in Japan, it's a really, really nasty habit that people will just regularly walk around and either open mouth cough all over everything or open mouth sneeze all over everything. One of the things they like to do is sneeze directly into their hand. But sometimes they don't even use their hand. Sometimes they just sneeze. And it just goes out everywhere.
The germaphobe in you is probably freaking out.
The germaphobe in me is freaking out, but also the westernized American, that's really gross, don't do that, is also freaking out.
Right.
Because like that, because I don't know. That's really gross.
Need Purell.
Cut that out, Japan. That could be really, really culturally insensitive of me to say that, but
cut American.
In the end, some Akiba can be too much Akiba. Mm-hmm. The more merch I saw, I found I wanted to consume less and art more, though I still consume too much. Those are all my proverbs from Japan. Mm-hmm. Which is 100% true. I came home and just immediately started drawing so much stuff. It was awesome.
So I think this was a good look into what you did there. And I think that over time, we are going to find out more about what you did.
I actually have a whole bunch of stories and talking points that I do want to
talk about. I'm sure you do. You haven't even shown me all your pictures yet.
Yeah.
You took like 1,000.
Yeah.
So we'll get to them eventually, but...
Yeah, I have a lot of funny stories about Okinawa. One of the stories that I have to tell, though, mm-hmm. that I saw is I walked into Akihabara one day. Oh, it was after I left Nakano Broadway. So I left Nakano Broadway, coming home, going back to Akihabara, back to my hotel, and I walk out of the Akihabara train station. And it's almost like I walked into Silent Hill, and there are a bunch of nurses, like Silent Hill nurses, standing everywhere.
What?
Like a massive, 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 massive amount of businessmen. Just in suits. All in Akihabara. So many. I have pictures and video of it. But this is the most businessmen I've ever seen. I was just taking video and pictures of it. It was amazing. I've never seen so many people just all in business suits. And it was because the iPhone 10 was getting released that night.
Oh.
So the night the iPhone 10 got released, Akihabara was filled with people. All in business suits. It was absolutely amazing.
That's weird.
It was really weird.
Because that's a very different crowd than America,
yeah.
who are all in knit caps
yeah.
and skateboards.
Knit caps and denim jeans and flannel sweaters and gross beards that they need to shave. And
Shepherd Fairy t-shirts.
How very specific.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I have a lot of Shepherd Fairy stuff, so.
Can't be helped.
Can't be helped. Awesome artist.
do we have any fan service?
I've been away for 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's a fair point.
I am very... Guys, one of the things that... I've been home for about a week and a half now, and the jet lag is just... destroying me.
Yeah, you slept for 14 hours.
So I thought I had beaten it by not sleeping on my travels and then coming home and sleeping at a normal hour. But I fall asleep at like 8:30 at night, wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then I'm absolutely exhausted by noon and I want to sleep. It's just readjusting back to American culture is so difficult. And I mean... adjusting back to a time schedule is difficult, but I'm also finding that adjusting back to culture is very difficult. We actually went to Boston / Cambridge today to go to see the concert, the Cuckoo Kangaroo concert. And I just realized, like, oh my gosh, these people are just the worst. it's so different than being in Japan, where everybody's kind of polite. Even though, yes, people will try to intimidate you on the street. And you know, oh yeah, but one, it's cleaner. Two, people are just more polite. When you're driving on the roads, people aren't nasty. It's just, the culture, it's so different.
Mm.
The food is actually good. I didn't even get to tell you about the restaurant that I went to while I was in Akihabara, so.
Maybe for the next episode.
I mean, besides the Greek guy. Yeah, I can do the next episode.
Yeah, next episode.
There are two pieces of, one. Yeah, there's one piece that we should absolutely talk about for fan service, and it's from Iceman.
Oh, Iceman.
He did us a wonderful favor.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
there are so many shows that we are missing out on that he was able to give us through whatever means necessary that I won't disclose, a at least 1 month subscription of Anime Strike. So that we could watch, at least watch Made in Abyss.
Which I've actually been watching that, and it's really good.
Yeah, so we owe Iceman a review of Made in Abyss.
And a huge thank you.
Yeah, that was a super cool thing to
do.
That
was a super cool thing to do, Iceman. Thank you very much.
So that we'll leave fan service at that. For now in this episode. Do you want to get back into the old swing of things, Andrew, and give us some shameless plugs?
I guess so. More than anything, I just want this episode to be over.
That's the spirit.
If you guys want to join in on our conversation, if you have any questions to ask me specifically, you can ask me at, or about my trip, I should say. Ask me specific questions. It actually makes it easier for me to talk about the trip if you guys ask me questions so that I can answer it. If I just talk about the trip specifically, you won't get all the information that you want. So you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com where you can message us and ask me questions, and maybe you can even comment some questions to me that you want to ask about the trip, depending on what you want to know. I know some of you are going to be like, send me that picture of the panty vending machine. Okay, maybe I will. I have it, so I guess I'm going to have to. Anyway, and you can also find any news, reviews, and updates on that Facebook.com page. You can also find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you can, if you're not listening to that podcast right here, right now, you can also find our podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Podchasers, anything that you can find your podcasting wonderfulness on. You can also find our videos at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, but I highly recommend you go over to that YouTube page and subscribe to youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. where all of our main video sources will be plugged in immediately. And of course, you can find us at all the other social medias. You can find us at Tumblr. You can find us at Twitter. You can tweet at us at @YoWickedAnime. And you can even maybe find us every once in a while playing a video game on Wicked Anime Play slash Switch TV. I think that's it.
Is it?
Did I get it?
I don't know. I wasn't listening.
I think I'm done.
Also, leaving us a review on iTunes. You can support us on...
Has anybody done that lately?
I don't know. I haven't looked.
Yeah, we haven't looked.
Support us on Patreon, a Nerdy Show, patreon.com/nerdyshow. Even $1 will get you a buttload of extra stuff.
And if you guys do review us on iTunes, whenever we find it, if you have or have not yet, when we find it and we know it's new, we will read it here on the show.
All right, Evan, your turn.
All right. So... for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Basher Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or want to be featured on our No Borders, No Race podcast show if you're in a band, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbasherbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter and the J-Pop Anime and Video Games Amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH. You can follow me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBastardBrigade and on facebook.com/LandOfESH. And don't forget about all the other shows under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smashed Rook, and Nerd Crave. Now, for December, for you listeners out there, as people know, I now do a bi-weekly show. I don't do it weekly. But for the month of December, I'm actually going to be doing early our top 20 albums of 2017. The list has been made. There are 8 albums from Japan. There's a few from America, a few from Britain. I was stuck with my top 4 as to which one I should award the top album pick for. I have decided upon it, and I even moved one of those albums up a peg and moved one down. Thankfully, due to some actual Twitter feedback I got from some people, And I don't know if we're going to have other people chiming in with their picks, because with everyone's schedule, it might be a little bit tougher to do that. But the plan is for December, the two episodes you're going to hear will be the top 20 albums of 2017, my picks. And then the first episode in January will be, as we did last year, the Wiki's post show, where we spin all of our favorite opening and ending theme songs from our favorite anime.
Yeah, there's going to be some good ones this year.
Oh my god, there are so many good ones. Like, I've been making the list, like, starting since the beginning of the year as to what I know I'm going to spin. Mm-hmm. And there's still a couple of songs that still haven't officially been released yet that I can't wait for to come out that I know I'm going to be spinning on the show. So I think that's it.
That's it.
Guys, I'm holding in my hands Elfin Lied and reading it, the manga.
Well, you couldn't go one episode without talking about Elfin Lied. How about that?
Wow, guys. Yes. Look at it.
It's like he never left.
It's in my hands. It's awesome.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. That's all we have for you this time. We hope that you'll listen in on the next episode, where hopefully Andrew will be giving us some even more information in his stories of Japan. I feel like that every time that you and I talk is just like, when I was in Japan. And then, you know, so I imagine that it's going to happen a lot for this episode of the podcast as well. So look forward to that, fans, and hopefully you'll keep listening to us, because we enjoy when you listen to us, because it makes us feel happy and warm and special. And it's time to sign off the only way we know how.
K-Bye! K-Bye! All right, Andrew, here's the list of all the people you can't find in this
They do not allow cameras, and they do not allow photography.
So that's an interesting point right off the bat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But especially when you're in the porn shops, or not porn shops, the sex shops. So the sex shops, porn shops,
they kind of go hand in hand.
Kinda, not really.
I did not mean to do that pun.
Yeah. Yeah. Kinda,
accidental pun?
Not really. Like, you know, because, I mean,